There's nothing quite like the smell of food cooked on an open fire. It might be salmon on a plank, or it might be a perfectly cooked burger, or maybe it's a veggie kebab. I think it all tastes better on the grill. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Labor Day is right around the corner, and between that and the tailgate parties with football, there are lots of opportunities to fire up the grill, and that means we had to get a hold of grilling gurus, Mad Dog and Merrill, who are with us today. Their mission is to get you grilling and to help you think creatively about what you cook outside. Mad Dog, always a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. It's always a pleasure to hear your voice.
Yeah, and Merrill, good to have you with us, too.
It's good to be with you, Larry. Happy Labor Day coming up.
Yeah, you know what? There is a bounty, at least at my house, of end-of-the-summer produce right now. Eggplant, zucchini, tomatoes, corn. Any of these making regular appearances on your grills these days?
Well, they certainly are. You know what's great about some of the vegetables you mentioned, especially soon tailgate season is coming around. We like to show off our team colors when it comes to tailgating. So yellow squash, green zucchini, beautiful red peppers, tomatoes, white onions, they all make an appearance in the Midwest, in Wisconsin, when it comes to tailgating. So we like to show off our team colors.
Ah, do you marinate your vegetables typically? Or?
You know, you do marinate. Marinating them really does add a great flavor to them. Obviously, we're not trying to tenderize them, Larry. But a nice glistening of oil is definitely needed. And they can go right in the grates of the grill. They can go right in the grill baskets. They can go on kebabs, like you mentioned. Vegetables are fantastic. My saying is there's not a vegetable you can't grow in your garden, get at the local produce stand or the market, you can't put directly on the grates of the grill.
Yeah, and do you use direct heat on them too?
You know, as a rule, direct heat, you know, if it's shish kebabs, I've been building these neat little shish kebab sets out of wooden dowels and wrapping them in foil and putting them off to the side where there's no heat and cooking them for a half hour. Yeah, but vegetables directly on the grates. We just did a cook-off yesterday at the Waupaca County Fair, helped to host it. And these guys roasted some red peppers first and then peeled them and then diced them up and made like a little topping, a little salsa for their ribs. And it was just absolutely delicious.
Oh.
But so they toasted the peppers first for that rich flavor. God, it was good.
Oh, it sounds good. And the heat, you know, you're going to pretty much medium heat probably for veggies, or do you go?
Absolutely. You know, it depends on your grill. You know, we've got a lot of people talking about the infrareds lately, and, you know, it's a lower heat there, but it depends on your grill system.
Yeah. And Judith, now Judith is going to be, she's got some peaches, she told me, and she wants to grill them tonight. And I have never grilled peaches, but that could be good.
You know, I'm working up some recipes. We're actually doing a red and white tailgate show this year that airs throughout Wisconsin, and a green and gold tailgate half-hour show. And I'm doing some, one of the sponsors, a bourbon company. And I'm marinating some peaches, plums, nectarines with brown sugar and bourbon and a little bit of other herbs and spices. I got some fresh mint growing, so I'm going to do like a Kentucky Derby mint kebab.
Ooh.
Fruit kebab.
Oh.
I know it's terrible.
Oh, can I just come over and just drink the liquid and keep the peaches?
Oh, man, put it all in the blender and the head.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And you know something? They really, really are. And there again, with her peaches, if you overcook them, they get too soft and the texture's gone. I found some apple wedges. What did I do, Meryl? I took apple wedges and
these are great. Tell them.
I cut the apples in wedges. I just glistened them with a little olive oil, the white parts. You know, it was a red apple. And I just took the two wedges and dipped them in oil. And I put white sugar and Cajun spice and I mixed it together.
Yeah.
And just dip the two sides of the apples in that sweet and that heat, and I toasted them for about 15 minutes, and we served them with some bacon-wrapped stuffed pork loins.
Oh.
And what a phenomenal side dish to serve those apples. God dang, they were good.
Oh.
I got to tell you, Larry, they were absolutely awesome. I mean, I was, you know, obviously when we do our television shows, we sort of do them live, so we don't rehearse or nothing. And I'm eating them right on the set on TV. It's like, I couldn't believe it. Yeah. They're absolutely great.
Sounded sincere. He really sounded sincere.
I was sincere for once for you, Mad Dog. See? Now they were awesome. Absolutely awesome.
So now what? Tell me, this is sugar and what? Tell me again.
And Cajun spice.
Oh, Cajun spice. Oh.
Cajun spice. Yep. And it was just a store-bought off of one of those large racks where you in the packets.
Yeah.
And I just mixed this with the white sugar and that Cajun spice, oiled the little wedges of the apple and just... and mixes the two together, the spices together, and just dipped, turned them peeling side down on the grates of the grill, medium heat, for 15 minutes at the most, and I served them with that bacon. It was a pepper bacon-wrapped pork chop that was stuffed with apples and kraut.
Oh, man.
God dang, they were good. Honest to goodness.
Oh, man, that sounds really good. Lynette in Richfield has a question for you guys, so let me go there. Lynette, hi.
Hi. I was wondering if you could talk about the different heat sources out there available, the different woods, the different charcoals, the properties of each, and that, you know, is there such a thing as cheap charcoal versus decent charcoal?
I was wondering
if you can talk about the different heat sources.
There's a big difference on that.
Yep, exactly.
You know, when you look at a lot of people, when you see when they're using the Komodo style grills or even for actual grilling, a lot of them are using natural charcoal, which is natural wood that has been sort of burnt down and cooked. It's a big difference. When you're using charcoal briquettes are used with a lot of different types of filler. So you're really starting to see the rise of natural charcoal. I mean, really, in the last couple of years, you're seeing more and more people purchasing natural charcoal. And you should make sure that it does say natural lump charcoal on there. There's also regular charcoal or even sort of lump charcoal, but it's just recycled wood that they're using. But you want to use actually natural lump charcoal. Heat source for wood, you could use any type of wood basically that you like. You know, Wisconsin, we're more into hickory, the apple, the cherry wood. You know, you go down south, boy, it'd be great if you get more pecan wood up here. That's really fun to cook with also.
And there are some, there's at least one company in Wisconsin that makes a really good charcoal.
Yeah, Cedar Grove is a really good natural charcoal. Very good. You get those at the store almost anywhere.
Mm-hmm. So there you have it, Lynette.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Question about grilling or an experience to share, something unusual, things that you throw on the grill? We'd love to hear about those as well. 1-800-642-1234. Well, Merrill, what are you cooking up this Labor Day weekend?
Well, you know, I have to mention it was just actually sort of a coincidence. I know that we're going to be cooking with on bourbon tomorrow, but I love doing bourbon steaks on the grill, and I'm going to do a bourbon sirloin steak marinated in a bourbon sauce, which will have some bourbon, some brown sugar, a little bit of oil, and just some regular mustard and garlic. Marinate that for about 3 or 4 hours. But I grill it to a medium rare, but I'm going to slice the sirloin real thin and serve it on some Kaiser rolls with a little bit of teriyaki mushrooms.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, well, that's one way for Labor Day to conceive recipes.
Yeah. Honey, I don't want to run dry. I got to make sure I got plenty of marinade.
Yeah, exactly right.
I tell you what, I've got to tell. I'm going to tell a story on myself. We were with a group of people. This is a long time ago. Went on a fishing and golfing trip, and I was doing some of the cooking. And one night, I decided I was going to have. I had some baked beans, and I was going to dress them up with some bourbon.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
And I think I should have put like an ounce or something in, but it tasted like I'd put a gallon in.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness me! You can there is too much of a good thing sometimes when it comes to bourbon.
You know, even doing it on the bourbon steaks, just to make it simple for people who want to know the recipe, it's equal amounts of the same thing. So really, if I use let's just say even a quarter cup of bourbon. I'm doing a 2-pound sirloin steak here, so it's a big steak. But if I'm using a quarter cup of bourbon, I'm using a quarter cup of brown sugar, you know, and a quarter cup of oil and a quarter cup of mustard. But too much of a good thing can ruin the meal, that's for sure. Even drinking it and even pouring it in the marinade, too.
Yeah. That may have been my problem.
There you go.
the estimating got a little off there, I think, and all the revelry we were having before we sat down to do some cooking. Wow. Mad Dog and Merrill, our guests today, we're talking about Labor Day and tailgate grilling. Hope you'll join us. They'll be back right after this look at the news. Stay with us. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Labor Day coming up, the football season starting, and summer still going. That means grilling. And when I think grilling, the first couple of people I think of are Mad Dog and Merrill, our grilling buddies, nationally recognized, self-proclaimed grillologists. They are the hosts of the TV show Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin'. They've written several cookbooks, and the latest is Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin' Cookbook. And they're with us right now and ready to take your questions about grilling or to hear your experiences at the grill. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And you know, we got callers waiting, so let's go to the phones and Anthony in Watertown up next. Anthony, hi, thank you for calling.
Oh, thanks for having me on and having a great guest. I have been watching you guys for a while. This question is involves, we do a barbecue every year for September 11th, and we do a whole bunch of different things at one time. We do pork chops, pork ribs, pork. Loin, brats, kebabs, bacon explosions, and we serve a lot of people. And one of the things that I have problems with is when you guys do events that have a whole lot of different things, how do you keep everything fresh and hot and not soaked in, like, chicken stock or stuff like that? Because I want to keep everything tasting charcoal and grilled, you know?
Yeah, you know, it is a little difficult, isn't it? We do a lot of catering, and we do a catering for several hundred people at a time. And what we find, and we go, and you probably do the same thing, you go through a lot of drip pans. And the last time we were on, I mentioned the word aluminum drip pans, and I got chastised. But aluminum drip pans. But I like layering onions or peppers or onions and peppers on the bottom of the pan and just maybe 3/4 of broth, like beef or chicken, to kind of fill, to level off those onions and peppers. So the onions and peppers are sitting in a little puddle of that broth, and then you stack the meat products up on top of that, and it kind of steams through the onions and the broth and the peppers, keeps everything warm as you put them back on the grill. That's one of our ways of doing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, especially with different things. I can see in peppers and onions being pretty neutral and complementary at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly right. You can always also put bags of sauerkraut on the bottom, half drained with maybe a little brewski with that. You know, I don't know what your party's like, and add ribs or something to the top of that. You know,
all that grilling and all that pork, it can't be anything beer's not accepted at.
Thank you.
Once it's real quick, wrapping up dates with bacon, throwing them on the grill, and radishes wrapped in bacon, throwing those on the grill, changed my life.
Oh, radishes. Yeah, wrapped in bacon.
Yeah, dang.
Well, I'll bet you know what Mad Dog's going to do on television next Friday.
Yeah, let me scratch this recipe out and add radishes, Anthony's radishes, and bacon wrap.
And what was the other? It wasn't prunes.
Dates wrapped
dates.
In bacon.
Yeah, dates are really good, yeah.
Yeah, dates are. Yeah, I could see dates. Well, this radishes idea, that's a good one.
Yeah, see, I've cooked radishes before, and I thought they've always gotten a little soft on me, or the texture's really changed, but I'll give them a shot.
Radish with bacon.
I'll take care of the beer.
Okay. Thank you, Merrill.
All right, Anthony, thank you very much for calling.
Yeah,
appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Speaking of, you know, Bonnie in Mount Horeb shot us a note and wondered She says, "Hey, guys, hi, guys. Could you tell me how to make a moist pork chop on the grill?"
Well, you know, a lot of people, and we've talked about this before all the time, you know, pork's a lot more leaner than it used to be back in the old days. You know, yeah. You also get some really good fat on there. And now pork's a little bit more lean. But first of all, you got to realize that pork is easily done at 145 degrees. So a lot of people are still overcooking the pork chop. You want to grill it on a really nice medium heat. And you're only talking about, even for a good one-inch thick pork chop, you're only talking about 5 to 6 minutes on each side. You might want to oil that just a little bit of oil. I'm just talking about a touch of oil, but brown that up. Or you could do it even just browning up and move over to one side and just turn off the heat and then just let it sit there. But pork only needs to be about 145, 150 degrees.
Yeah, and it's so easy to overcook.
Oh, it is. Yes, it is.
I've got a very expensive, I probably mentioned this before, I've got a very expensive meat thermometer that I'm embarrassed to even tell you how much I paid for it. But it is accurate.
Yes.
And it has made a difference for me in certain things that I cook. And pork chops are one of them because I was overcooking them, and I used that thermometer to good effect.
Is that a laser one? Is that a laser or a probe?
It's a probe. It only goes in about a quarter inch, but it gives you an instant read. It's one that the chefs on the Cooking Channel all swear by it, and it's sort of like a jackknife. You open it up and and you can use it for it actually works for candy or anything else too. It's very, very accurate and it's instant. So
is that how you got by buying it? Because it works for candy too, Larry.
Yeah. I don't know, it was a weak moment. I was sitting around and I had just seen one of those shows and the guys were bragging about that meat thermometer. And I thought, okay.
They work, whether they're excellent. They absolutely are.
The one that I had didn't work. I mean, they didn't work properly and I was always overcooking. So Patrick in Grafton. Enough of my problems. Patrick, let's go to Patrick in Grafton. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hey, how are you?
Great, appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thanks for asking. I actually just got a Traeger grill last night, and I want to grill a wild sockeye salmon and a whole chicken on that grill at the same time, and it's raining out right now. Do you guys have any recommendations? Should I go out by a tent or...
Huh?
Do it in the garage.
Yeah, you know, the Traegers are nice, and you know, there's Green Mountain, and there's a few other name brands for pellet grills. You might want to. The circuits you don't want to get too wet too often. They're, you know, it's electrically controlled. Electricity and water are two different animals, you know. So and digitally controlled. And don't get me wrong, they're great. Now the two together, is it a whole salmon, Patrick, or slab?
It's a slab.
Yeah. You might not want to do the whole together. You know, the slab of salmon is going to take, of course, a Traeger grill, you can turn the heat up and down to different degrees, but as a rule, it's only going to take about a half hour, where that whole chicken's going to take an hour and a half.
Okay.
So you're going to
want to start the chicken.
Yeah.
Thank you, Larry, yeah.
About an hour ahead.
Yep, exactly right. And then throw the slab of salmon on, and life will be good. Everyone will be happy. And remember that sugar and bourbon. Remember the brown sugar and bourbon glaze.
Right.
Hey, that'd go good on the salmon for
yes,
sure.
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
I want to say one thing, because I want to talk about one thing today, but we're talking about it as we're doing it. And you know, Larry, Mad Dog, and Merrill, at our age, you don't want to fade away. You want to finish big. and it's the same. It's the same as meat products on the grill. You can pre-season them, and they sure are good their whole life on the grill. But just as you're taking them off, it's a great way to finish big to re-season them. To finish big, so you can reinforce the flavors by re-seasoning them, by adding glazes, by adding salsas over the top, by adding different things that will help to reinforce the flavor that you've already added when you started grilling.
I like how you think. Patrick, thank you for calling. Appreciate it. And J.R. in Mauston, what's on your mind?
Yeah. I've never grilled ribs before, and I've got some beef ribs, and I just wonder if you guys might have some tips on how to get those to come out real good.
All right.
Boy, the good old beef ribs, you know, they're beef ribs are a little bit more trickier than they are than for your on your pork ribs. I would definitely cook them a little bit low and slow. You know, season them, oil them first, season them. You can go ahead and, hate to say this, but a lot of people do it. I would sear them up first on the grill, wrap them up in foil, and cook them the indirect method of grilling them, let them go for at least a good hour, and then take them out of aluminum foil, and then put your favorite sauce on there and finish them up on a nice, slow heat to brown them up. I don't know. What do you think, man, Doug?
Yeah, beef ribs are an issue. They got a lot of good fat in between there and the membranes in between there, a lot of good fat. And some people even par cook them first, and which we don't like to do, but some people par cook them and then toss them on the grill, and they come out nice, too. So
that's the other way to do it, yeah.
Yeah, what I'd suggest to do is have JR do it a couple different ways, and then when next time we're on, call back.
Yeah, I'll do that.
They are. The beef ribs are tricky. They're delicious. I mean, I love them, but they're really, really tricky to do. They're not overcomplicated to do, but they're tricky.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we're doing racks of pork ribs and we're doing short ribs. So we're doing a whole show on ribs that we're taping tomorrow in Green Bay, so that'll air throughout Madison, Wisconsin, and Milwaukee during our tailgate season show.
Yeah, well,
okay.
Yeah, we talk a little bit more about your show. Tell us more about
the
show.
Well, you know, it's kind of neat. In Madison area, it's CW57. Milwaukee, it's CW18. On Green Bay Market, it's My32. And there's a red and white show. We actually go down to Madison about, you know, there's 12 nice little games that you have. So we're going to do red and white shows throughout the Madison time period for red and white. And we're going to go to different breweries down there and tape them from Capital to Wisconsin Brewery to a few other places and tape those shows. And theirs are going to air Saturday mornings on CW57 in Madison, like I mentioned, the rest of the network. And then on Sundays, we're doing a green and gold tailgate show. And we go to a real nice place, one of the right in the midst of things over by Lambeau Field is Stadium View. And we're going to go to their place, in fact, tomorrow and tape a couple of nice shows, green and gold shows. And then we have our half-hour grilling show, which airs Sunday mornings also. So it's kind of neat. Check your local listings in those stations on Saturday mornings and Sundays. And we actually went with a Global Vision, which is a national network, and our show's starting to air nationally on Global Vision, which is a new network.
Oh, cool.
Yes, yeah, it's really neat. So next year we're looking for a little bit more expansion on that and working on that a little bit more.
And, you know, you also got your website, too.
Yeah, MadDogAndMeryl.com.
Yeah.
No, it's quite all right.
MadDogAndMeryl.com, and that actually... I've got a link on my Facebook page, too, so if people are over there, they can just link on it. Because you've got recipes on there. You've got all your products and things that you sell as well. I still am using your grandma's...
Grandma Hazel.
Oh, Grandma Hazel had to put together a good rub there.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful stuff.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing you can't cook on the grill, is there, Larry?
No. I don't think there is.
No.
And I want to give our listeners a chance to join in again at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call or email us at talk@wpr.org. Facebook, go to the Larry Mueller Show. And by the way, we did have a Facebook comment from Karina I wanted to bring up. She said, I'd like to add my suggestion for the caller who asked about grilling juicy pork chops. She brines them first, dissolve sugar in hot water, add salt to cold water, mix them, and then add pork chops and let them sit in the fridge for 8 to 12 hours.
They're good.
Yeah.
Brining's very good.
Excellent. It's actually the way when I talked about those apple wedges before, I actually took and slit a nice center-cut pork chop that was about an inch and a half. I cut a pocket in it, and I brined them first for 12 hours, just like Katrina did. With a beer solution. Then I patted them dry and stuffed them and wrapped them in bacon, and then I served them with those apple wedges. So she's right.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions or comments. What about some good main dishes to throw on the grill for a tailgate party? Do you go simple and traditional, or do you like to take some chances?
Oh, I think we like taking chances and simple.
Live on the edge.
We always do. We always do. You know, I hate to bring it up and put it up for the television show, but Mad Dog, we did do taping this last week at the Packer game, and Mad Dog is a genius when it comes up with these ideas. But you got to tell him what you did with the bacon wrapped dogs with the kraut for an hors d'oeuvre.
It really was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was just fantastic.
One of the things we've been talking about is the difference between, first of all, wieners and hot dogs. Hot dogs are okay, but, you know, the wieners in Wisconsin, they snap, they're crisp, they're really good. So I bought some good quality wieners, and I slit them three-quarters of the way lengthwise down, three-quarters of the way, and I packed in some good old-fashioned crisp kraut, sauerkraut in there, and then I cut them in thirds, and I wrapped them in bacon, and then we put them on the grill as hors d'oeuvres, and I browned them up, but then I took a skillet, and I took some, it was a habanero cherry sauce.
Ooh.
Habanero cherry sauce in a skillet. I put that in a nice cast iron skillet. I put those partially browned wieners wrapped in bacon with the sauerkraut stuffed in that sauce of jalapeno and cherry, and I slow cooked them in that, let them caramelize a little bit, and honest to God, they were pretty good.
Oh, man, that sounds good.
Oh, they were.
They were good.
They were absolutely excellent. You know, and then got to say also, which is great, you've got to look at in your the meat department refrigerator. But Great Lakes Kraut is coming out with Severin sauerkraut, which is different flavors of kraut that you're going to be able to get, and they're absolutely excellent. They've got about five different types of flavors.
Now, give me an example.
Well, one was the what did you use on Friday? Friday used the
it was a garlic and dill.
Right, the garlic and dill.
And they have curry.
Right.
Oh.
Gosh, what's the other one? Oh, Larry, you're putting me on the spot, man. But there's five different flavors, but they're absolutely excellent.
And what's the company? Well, just give me what's the company again? It's
Severin is what it's called.
Severin is their new name brand underneath those flavored ones. And they're little pouches of sauerkraut with different flavors. And you'll find them in the meat department case, just like you would your sauerkraut, crisp kraut, you know, by the meat cases.
Oh, okay.
The Baron. And one's a real spicy. The ingredients is sauerkraut and chili pepper, and that's their spicy one. And then they have one that's an Indian side dish as a rule. That's just phenomenal. I mean, they're just great stuff. Gosh darn it all, I can't say enough. We used them in the brines for beer and bratwurst, and it just adds a whole new flavor.
Oh, man.
Now, how's that spelled? Is it S-A-V?
Yes, it is.
S-A-V-A-R-E-N or something?
Yes.
Close to that, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Severin. They just got a new website called SeverinProducts.com.
All right. Well, that's worth a look. We'll take a look and see what we can come up with.
S-A-V-E-R-A-N. SeverinProducts.com.
Ah, okay. There we go.
Yeah. Oh, it's good. Wait till you see those different flavored crowds. And it's something completely new.
Jim in Hazelhurst has a comment. Jim, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi, Larry. My favorite grilling ingredient is granulated garlic. I use it in everything. And a few years ago, my wife and I were traveling across New Mexico, and we stopped at Hatch, New Mexico, which is famous for their chilies. Hatch chilies are very, very popular across the Southwest. It's a unique, it's similar to Vidalia onions. They've got a unique growing area there. But we bought some granulated garlic that had been roasted over a wood flame, and it's got a very intense wood smoked taste to it. And I've not ever found granulated garlic that had such a wonderful flavor. So we ran out of it, and I called down there a couple weeks ago, and I had a pound shipped in. And I got to tell you, I'd just remembered how wonderful it is. But it's wood-roasted granulated garlic from Hatch, New Mexico, And the place I get it from is called Chili Fanatic. And you can have the minimum they'll ship is 1 pound, and it's about $8.50, including shipping, to have it shipped to Wisconsin.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
No, for a pound? Holy cow,
yeah,
a pound.
A pound of grated garlic, and it has got a lot more intense flavor than anything you would buy at a grocery store. And we used to buy Pinsey's granulated garlic, but I got to say, this is twice as more flavorful. It's a unique taste.
Oh. Well, I'm learning all kinds of things today.
I know. I'm writing down as fast as I can.
Yeah, I know.
Pete in Bellevue, Iowa. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, it's great to have you guys on the radio. This is kind of a rookie question, but I really want to get that heat where it needs to be on the grill. And I'm thinking, for safety even, should I be really switching to a gas grill and away from charcoal?
No, oh, everybody's got their opinion on that. You know, the charcoal, I mean, if you're looking at a high heat, you could get that. I mean, the advantage of charcoal, you know, you can get the high heat, but the big advantage of gas is when you want to cook, say if you want to cook right now, you go out there, turn on the gas, you're ready to grill.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know if the residue was still a concern. It's been brought up before, Consumer Reports and other things. I just didn't know about the safety of that off-gassing or off. I don't use any starter fluid, but just even the charcoal residue, I had heard that that might be a negative.
You know, to be honest, they have not heard that much from on the charcoal residue or anything on
the
there.
Natural lump.
Yeah. I mean, back on the natural lump, I mean, you're dealing with basically for unnatural charcoal there. So that one, I really think you're going to be fine on that, whether you use on the charcoal or whether you go to the gas.
I've got two big Weber grills that are charcoal, and I've got a very large gas grill, which is make a good boat anchor right about now because
right.
I hardly ever use it anymore.
Yeah,
I still use the charcoal all the time, just because I like the flavor better. But I tell you, when I'm doing a lot of cooking, a lot of grilling, that gas grill is pretty darn handy. Pretty darn handy.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's nice. I mean, you're seeing really more and more people now going with on charcoal and having a gas grill. Yeah. Grilling on gas during the week and usually on the charcoal on the weekend. That is what's been the standard.
Yeah.
You are seeing people both having both charcoal and gas now.
Well, I have tell you what, guys, thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it. And I hope you have a great Labor Day weekend. And we'll be tuning in on the television. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, Larry.
I think we worked up a lot of appetite.
Yeah, I think we did. Mad Dog and Merrill, the grilling buddies, remember their TV show, Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin'. It's a lot of fun. I've watched it, and you should too. Thanks for listening. Stay with us.